Amen. Please take your Bibles and if you would stand with me as we read God's Word together. Mark chapter 14, as we continue the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and read Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 32 to 42. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 reads this way. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and he found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and he prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. And their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Lord, we thank you for your precious word in this time in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his great struggle. Lord, I just pray that you would please speak to us, dear Father, and help us to appreciate the agony that our Lord Jesus had went through. Even before the cross, there was a battle. And now, Father, we just pray that you would help us to learn and to gain understanding and learn to be victorious, dear Father. We ask for your grace now upon us. And we thank you for this privilege of coming and being together and studying your word. Bless us, we beseech you. We thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we're studying the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we learned that what's taking place, beloved, is a spiritual battle. And I want you to understand that every single Christian, every person that loves the Lord, that is redeemed, will go through a spiritual battle. And it will be with temptation. And our Lord Jesus is a wonderful example for us as he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is in the Mount of Olivet. And we see there is a process going on here as the Lord comes there and he begins to struggle and he begins to pray and he begins to cry out to the Lord. And you find at the very last, that in verses 42, 41 and 42, that the Lord has a different mindset, a different attitude, because he had been strengthened by God. And my desire for you, beloved, is when you go through a trial, when you go through a difficult time, that you learn to go to battle. You learn to deal with temptation through much prayer. When you pray, you pour out your heart to God and you learn to seek strength from Almighty God. Because, beloved, we don't have any strength. We don't have spiritual strength. We're weak. And we need to learn as our Lord Jesus Christ, if Christ himself needed strength from God, how much more do we? Oh, we need strength from the Lord to do what is right, to obey God's word. And our Lord Jesus Christ learned to draw strength from the Father. We're going to learn that today. And so this morning, I want us to see this. I want us to see how you and I can fight this spiritual battle. And verses 32 to 34, we're going to look at his pain. And then in verses 35 to 36, we're going to see his petition to the Father. And finally, from 37 on, all the way to 42, we're going to see how he comes to his disciples and continually prompts them to watch and to pray. The disciples, by the way, were really oblivious that they're about to enter into a spiritual battle. And beloved, let me tell you something. If you're not spending time in God's Word, if you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not growing and seeking the Lord, when the trial comes, it's going to knock you off your feet. Because you're not going to be ready for it. So you and I need to be continually seeking God's face, reading His Word, drawing near to God, because I guarantee you, you're going to have the days of adversity, just like you have the days of blessing. They will come. But may they find you ready. May they find you praying and watching, ready for those trials, and walking with God, and being strengthened. So let's learn how to deal with this, how to go into spiritual battle. It's different when it comes to deal with fighting with the evil one, when it comes to temptation. Temptation will come. Now let's look at the first part here. Our Lord Jesus Christ had just finished, if you remember last week, speaking to His disciples. Go with me to verse 27 of Mark chapter 14. Remember this? It says, Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble or fall away because of me this night." And how did He know that? First of all, because He's God. But second of all, because it was written over 550 years before Christ was born, or before this time here, out of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, where it says, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." It's already pre-written that this is going to take place. So He tells His disciples, you're about to fall away. You're about to enter into a trap, because the word there, stumble, is the word we get skandalos. It means a trap. It means to be offended. And He says, you're all going to stumble. It's just a fact. Look at verse 28. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee," giving them hope by His resurrection. They didn't hear that. That went over their head. Look at verse 29. "And Peter said to Him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Peter thought his love, his devotion, his strength in Christ was greater than all the rest. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But He spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. And we talked about this. This is dealing with the pride of man. Most people think that they're doing really well. We all think we're walking, you know, we're doing right. We're walking with the Lord. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Always walk in dependence of the Lord. Always a man or woman of prayer. Why does Paul say, pray without ceasing? Because we always need to draw strength from the Lord. Temptation will always be there. Temptation to deny the Lord. Temptation into sin. We need God's strength. Beloved, if we're so busy growing and seeking the Lord, we don't have time for nonsense. You understand that? See, there's that old saying, right? Idle hands is what? The devil's workshop. You don't have time. I don't have time to be idle. We need to be drawing closer to the Lord, more into the image of His Son. This brings us now to verse 32. "As they left the upper room, they began to go on to the Mount of Olivet." Gethsemane is a Hebrew name for a wine press. They went to a garden that they were familiar with. They went to go pray, and Judas himself knew where they were. It's around midnight. It's late at night. And I want us to see this first part. When Jesus gets there, something happens to Christ that the disciples have never seen before. For 3 years, the disciples walked with Christ 24/7, night and day. And everything that Christ did with great confidence and boldness, with great power and great glory. For the first time, they see Christ going through a battle, going through a struggle. Let me tell you something. It's kind of disheartening and kind of scary. They see God Himself in the flesh, extremely distressed and troubled. Let's look at verse 32 to 34. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to them, to his disciples, stay here while I pray. And that was something he did often, I'm sure. And he had them stay in the garden, a certain place. Then he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Why Peter, James, and John? We call those the inner circle. These were the leaders of the group. Peter was a spokesman. James and John were leaders. James was the first martyr of all the disciples. John was the one that was banished to Patmos, the island of Patmos, and he died at a ripe old age, but away from society. Jesus wanted his intimate friends with him during probably the most difficult time of his whole life. Next to the cross, this was probably the most difficult time of his life. It dawned upon him what he is about to go through. I want you to understand that Christ has never been a sin offering before. Though he is God in the flesh, in his humanity, it was overwhelming to be a sin offering. Christ himself, being the holy God in human flesh, had nothing to do with sin. And suddenly he will be the curse of sin on the cross. It was overwhelming. And it says here, he was troubled. In fact, the word troubled there is a word to be amazed. It's another word for it is to be terrified. And when I study the life of Christ and what he went through, I thought, wow, Lord, you went through a lot. And he was troubled. He was terrified. He was amazed. And it says he was deeply distressed. And he was doing this for us, beloved. And he says to his disciples in verse 34, he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? I am so sorrowful. I am so overwhelmed. I could just die, in a sense. Death probably would be easier than all the sorrow that he's going through. Overwhelmed. And let me tell you something. Christ is about to go to the cross and take the punishment for sinners, to take the eternal judgment and curse of God upon himself. It is amazing. Who can understand this? But I want you to also understand that this is a spiritual battle. And what Christ needed is the strength of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, would you? We see something very similar, not exactly the same, but Paul himself went through a time of great distress. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians, we learn that Paul himself had gone through a very difficult time. And maybe some of you here have gone through certain things in your life where you just got to the point where you're at the end of your rope. Where you're so distressed, so distraught, so overwhelmed that life itself became a burden. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3, Paul is rejoicing. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, the trial that Paul goes through is not in vain, but it's for other people. Guess what? The distress that Jesus went through, it wasn't for himself. It was for others. And you and I need to understand that the experiences that we go through is so we may be a comfort to others. Look at verse 5. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for during the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, Paul doesn't tell us what specifically he went through. But it was something horrific. Look at verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. Look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened, how? Beyond measure. We were so overwhelmed. We were so burdened, we didn't have any strength. It was beyond measure. Above strength, so that we despaired even of life. It was a sorrow unto death. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust who? We should not trust ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You see, Paul was overwhelmed to the point where if God didn't save them, they were lost. Our Lord Jesus Christ went through such agony at the cross, or agony here in the garden. It was a spiritual battle. And what did Christ do? He cried out to the Father. You know, beloved, there is no pit, there is no hole so deep where Jesus is not yet deeper. You could never be in a place where you are so down and so in despair that Christ cannot deliver you and help you. The Lord is still deeper, isn't he? Listen to what Psalm 56 says. Go with me there. Psalm 56. David writes about the Lord in his despair. And I believe God has given us the Psalters to comfort us, to strengthen us, to identify with us. And in Psalm 56, David writes this. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are men who fight against me, O Most High." Now look at verse 3. I hope this is true in your life. "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape? Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God." And so we see here, as David says, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in God." So we learn that Jesus Christ, being 100% God and 100% man, he relied completely and fully upon the Father, even to do his miracles. It was the Lord God. It was the Father and the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a very simple question. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so overwhelmed that you just didn't know what to do? So in despair? Well, let me just help you with that. When you find yourself in a position where you're overwhelmed, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through tribulation, let me just simply say this. Remember who's in control. Remember who sits on the throne. Remember, it's the Lord that makes the final decision. God is in control. God is sovereign. And you need to understand these, beloved, because let me tell you something. When you go through the darkest days of your life, what's going to comfort you, what's going to strengthen you, is that God is in control. God is on the throne. He's the one who has the final say. And all things work together for good to those that love God. You got to believe that. Otherwise, you'll be lost. You got to believe that. Because that will comfort you. The Lord's in control. You're not in control. Your boss isn't in control. God is in control. And he's the one that you cry out to. Remember who's in control. Remember who's on the throne. Remember who has the final decision. Remember this song? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives. Beloved, the Lord is in control. I remember comforting my mother. My father was dying. He was in the hospital and he was dying. And my mother would call me. I was living in Los Angeles and she would be so distraught and overwhelmed. And I remember talking to my mom and saying, Mom, who's in control? Is it the doctor that's in control? Who's in control, Mom? And she'll say, God. That's right. He's on the throne, God. Mom, He's on the throne. You can trust Him. He loves you. You can trust Him. Dad is in God's hands. And you know what? It will strengthen her. Let me tell you something. Are you going through something this morning? Are you overwhelmed this morning? Let me ask you something. Who's in control? Is it you? Is your worry going to change anything? No. But let me tell you, you can cry out to the one who's in control. And if you know Him, if you are redeemed, you belong to Him. And you can bank on His word. It's working out for your good. Did not Job say, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. If I die, I die. Isn't that what Esther said? Before she went to the king, she said, I want you to pray and fast for me, told Mordecai. I will pray and fast with my maidservants here. And if I perish, she says, I perish. But that's the way you go out, beloved. You die trying. You go out seeking the Lord and in obedience to God. The Lord is the one who has the final say. I've had people call me up panicked. They're about to lose their job. And I simply say this. God is the one that makes the final decision. Not your boss. It is the Lord. And you know what? That brings a lot of comfort because it is the truth. Go back with me to Mark chapter 14. The Lord Jesus was going through so much pain and so much agony, knowing that He has to go to the cross. He's becoming the Word of God says that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ never experienced this before. It was new. It was frightening. That He was going to be separated from the Father, and the curse of God, the wrath of God, will be poured out upon Him. It was more than you and I can comprehend. And so our Lord Jesus agonized there in the garden, seeking to submit Himself to the Father, and it was agonizing. And also we learn that it was one of His temptations. Because what Satan wanted was for Christ to give up. Throw in the towel. Don't go through with it. But our Lord Jesus submitted Himself to the Father. Let's look at His prayer. Verse 35. It says, and He went a little further and He knelt down and prayed. Is that what it says? He didn't kneel down, beloved. In fact, the natural way that Jewish men would pray would be standing up, lifting their hands up. If you remember reading about Solomon, when they built the platform, when he dedicated the temple, he got on his knees and he lifted his hands and he prayed to the Father. Jesus was not on his knees. He was on his face. Because He was crying out to His Father. Beloved, when you are overwhelmed and you need God's strength, there are times when you and I need to be on our faces. Do you understand that? We need to be on our faces. Do you remember the last time you went on your face to God? You might say, Pastor, I've never done that. Then, beloved, I think you need to do that. You need to learn to come to the Lord, and you need to come and you bow your face to God. Especially when you're overwhelmed. And so our Lord Jesus came. He was so distraught, exceedingly sorrowful, troubled, deeply stressed. And He says that He went on His face on the ground. He prostrated Himself and prayed. and that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And of course, he's talking about his suffering. And listen to his prayer. We get a little window, a little glimpse. And he uses the most intimate word that a child uses with the father. You see this later on in Romans chapter 8. But you see a glimpse of the Lord talking to the father saying, Abba. The word Abba is the word daddy. In fact, they even use it today still. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. And here's the most important phrase here. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You see, there's a struggle there. You see, there's a spiritual battle taking place. And the Lord finally, as he's battling regarding the suffering and regarding all that he's going to go through, taking the curse of sin upon himself, he submits himself under the Father in a perfect way. What a wonderful picture this is. The Lord Jesus knows that all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. But there are certain things that God cannot do. Did you realize that? He cannot lie. He will not break his word. So yeah, there are certain things, and that has to do with sin. God will keep his word. And we know that it has been prophesied from the beginning of time that there will be a spiritual battle. We read about it this morning in Sunday school, where he says that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, there will be enmity. And it says that the seed of the woman will bruise his head and the seed of the serpent will bruise his heel. And we see there's a spiritual battle here, and the Lord's crying out to his Father, who is able to deliver him and to save him. And he says, take this cup from me. You know what the answer is? God's not going to do it. This has been predestined before the foundation of the world. Jesus is speaking in his humanity. And you see the submission here. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Let me tell you something. When it comes to your prayer life, the most important words you can say is, God, I want to be in the center of your will. No matter what your decisions are, no matter what you're going through, if it be a job, if it be a marriage, if it be a person, or whatever it may be, ask God, Lord, if this is your will, if this is not your will, God, I don't want it. I want to be in the center of your will, because that's where you are safe as a Christian, as a man or woman of God. And when you pray, you need to seek God's will. In fact, that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that you just pray and at the end of your prayer you say, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. No, it means you're going to pray what Jesus himself will pray, seeking God's will, not your own will. Now, does that mean, Pastor, that I shouldn't pray what I desire? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. Pray what you desire, but ask God if that is his will. There are times where God says, that's not my will. So there's your answer. Sometimes you see the explicit will of God. Is it God's will that we go and we share our faith? Yes, it is. You really don't have to pray about that, but maybe God might pray for strength and for boldness. It is God's will. We see the Word of God. There are certain things that are very explicit. But other things, we need God's leading. Pray for God's will. You want to see answered prayer in your life? Pray for God's will and according to his will. Got to hear those prayers. So that's what I do. I will share my petition with the Lord. Lord, here's what I'm thinking. This is my thought. This is what my plans are. But Lord, if that is not your will, here's the hardest words that come out of your mouth. Then I don't want that. I remember when I was dating my wife. I said, Lord, this is a woman I want to marry. But Lord, if it's not your will, then I don't want to marry her, because I want to be in your will. I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to make sure that my life is pleasing to God. Or it might be a job. Make sure you pray according to His will. And He will. He'll answer that prayer. Many times He'll say no when it's not His will. Other times He'll say wait. And it's wonderful when you see when He says yes. Jesus reveals His struggle as He's talking to His disciples. He reveals His struggle and His fear to be our sin offering. It was a difficult time for Him. And three different times we see here where Christ pours out His heart to the Father. We get a glimpse of this, by the way, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Go with me there. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We get a glimpse. And let me tell you something. When Christ prayed, you could tell that He was in agony. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Hebrews chapter 5, we learn that the book of Hebrews talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Look at verse 7. It says, talking about our Lord Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and what else? Supplications. With what? Loud crying. Jesus wasn't there just praying to Himself. How did Peter know what He was praying? Because He was praying loudly. He was crying out to God. He was pouring out His soul to the Lord. With vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned what? Obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected or completed, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. If Jesus needed to learn obedience, how much more do we? If Jesus needed strength, how much more do I need strength? So this gives us a glimpse. Christ was crying out to the Father. This truly was a spiritual battle. We learn here in the book of Luke, go with me there, another glimpse into the garden. Luke chapter 22. That our Lord Jesus, He was sorrowful unto death. How merciful the Lord God is to give Him strength. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, He says in Luke 22, 41, and He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and He prayed. And here's the prayer. Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Look at verse 43. What did the Lord God do? Then an angel appeared to Him from heaven, doing what? Did Jesus need strengthening? Yes, He did. Do you need strength during the trial? During very dark days? Yes, you do. And how do we get that strength? By crying out to the Father. Crying out with all our heart. And an angel appeared to Him from heaven, strengthening Him. Look at verse 44. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. Then His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. By the way, this is actually a real condition that can happen. In the sweat glands, we learn that they can burst and blood will come out. When you're in great agony and great stress, the Lord is praying so fervently. And verse 44 actually uses the word agiznomai, which means to be in agony, crying out to the Lord, to the Father. Jesus needed strength. He needed strength to go through with the will of the Father. Sometimes, beloved, you and I, we need strength, don't we? And let me just encourage you that before I come up to this pulpit, that you pray that your pastor will have strength to come and give you the message that you need to hear. We need strength. We need strength to obey the Lord. We need strength to read the Bible. We need strength to pray. We need strength when it comes to temptation. Temptation to sin and do what is right. We need God's strength. We don't have it. We need the Lord to give us strength. And Paul says this. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you know the context is talking about when Paul was having plenty or when he was having little. But we know that that verse has to do with anything that God calls us to do, beloved. You might say, what God is calling me to do, I don't have the strength to do. That's exactly right. You don't. For some people, they don't have the strength to repent of their sin or their addiction or whatever it is that they're involved with in their secret sin. They don't have the strength to turn away from it. But God has the strength. And you need to cry out to the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Because I don't have the strength. And God will give you the strength to turn away from your sin. To live a life that is pleasing to Him. Because we don't have it. But He has it. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Beloved, it's all His strength, His power, His might. But we need to cry out to Him. But we don't, right? Many times we don't. Why? Because we love our sin. We need to ask God to help us to hate what He hates and to love what He loves and give us the strength to repent from our sins. Paul says, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ was truly, truly an obedient servant, wasn't He? Even unto death. Beloved, God calls us to be obedient unto death. He calls us to be like Christ. And we can't do it. Can you imagine when, if you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, those guys that were burned at the stake, those guys that were killed for Christ, who gave them that strength? Who gave these men who were dying for the sake of Christ, to be burned at the stake and be singing hymns to the Father? What kind of strength is that? Supernatural strength. What gave Stephen the strength as he was being stoned to death and he began to pray to Jesus not to hold the people accountable for his death? What kind of strength is that? It's God's strength, beloved. So let me ask you a simple question. Are you staying strong? Are you in the Word? Are you seeking the strength of the Lord? Have you learned to cry out to God, to wrestle with God? Have you learned to fall on your face? Oh, we need to learn, beloved. Sometimes we have to learn this through experience, don't we? We have to cry out to God. We have to be like Hannah, who poured out her heart to God. We have to be like Jacob. When Esau came with 400 men, he poured out his heart to God. And if you haven't learned that, God will bring trials in your life where you will learn that. Let's be like our Lord. Let's seek strength. The book of James chapter 5 verse 13 says, is there anyone among you that is suffering? He says, let him pray. Now, you know, I hear this all the time where people say, oh yeah, I pray. You know, you haven't really prayed. You haven't learned to pray on your face. You haven't learned to pour out your heart all night to God. You haven't learned to really pray. I remember there was a group of seminarians where they began to pray. It was going to be an all-night prayer. And the professor said, okay, I want you to pray. We're going to go in a circle. We're all going to pray. So they went in a circle and they began to pray. All of them, they petitioned and prayed. He goes, okay, we're going to go a second time. And they prayed again. We're going to go a third time. And they prayed again. They don't And they were exhausted. They didn't know what more to pray. And now, he says, now the prayer really begins. You see, beloved, real prayer really comes from the depth of our heart to God. It's us crying out to Lord Abba, Father, deliver me, help me. We need to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ learned to cry out to God. How much more do we need to? We're so calm in our prayers, aren't we? We're so calm and we pray for our food and we're so calm about it and that's wonderful. God wants us to do that. But there are times, beloved, where we need to just cry out to God. Go and close your bedroom door and lock the door and get on your face and cry out to God. He wants you to do that. He'll give you the strength. If you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with issues, we need to cry out to Him. And God hears those prayers. He hears our prayers, but He wants us to learn to draw strength from Him. And finally, go back with me to Mark chapter 14. You know, I when I read this, it just kind of made me really sad because I saw that our Lord Jesus was terrified. You see that in His humanity. He was so deeply troubled, so deeply stressed, went through such an enormous psychological and emotional distress with the evil one at His heels. And all He wanted was a little company. But you know what? He was really alone. And praise God for the Father who was there with Him. And so it says in verse 37 of Mark 14, and then He came and He found them watching. Is that what it says? They were watching. No, they were sleeping. And He said to Peter, Simon. Doesn't call him Peter, by the way. Wait a minute. Isn't this the Peter, Simon Peter said, Lord, I'm willing to go to the death for You. I'm not going to fall away. He couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. Both him and the others. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Come on. These men had no idea that they're about to enter into a spiritual battle. Do you understand, beloved, that temptation is not sin? Temptation, Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Temptation is the battle. When you're tempted between two decisions, whether to do what's right and do what is wrong, you are tempted. And only God's strength will help you. Will help you at that time. When you are tempted, that's a time to pray, beloved. I've learned that when I'm tempted, you know what I do? I tell God exactly what my temptation is, what it is, how I'm tempted to do it, and I begin to just expose it to God, and God says, I'll deal with it. When temptation starts knocking at my door, banging on the door, and I want to open the door, I say, Jesus, will You open that door? Because I can't handle that. And He opens the door. He deals with it. Temptation is the battle. And if you are not a man or woman of prayer, you're going to lose the battle. You're going to lose. These guys were blindsided. They were sleeping. They had no idea that just at the bottom of the Mount of Olives was this party of men and Romans coming to arrest Christ. They were sleeping. So He says, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray. In other words, keep on watching and keep on praying, lest you enter into temptation. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They need the strength of God. Peter thought he was stronger than what he was. So did the disciples. It says in verse 39, and again he went away and prayed. Listen to what it says. And guess what? He spoke the same words. You ever been so distraught, so overwhelmed, that when you pray, you're almost praying the same thing? Why? Because your heart is so overwhelmed. But he was praying with all his heart. And he had nothing new to say to the Father. He is simply saying, Father, if this is your will, then okay. But there's any way around this. Verse 40, and when he returned, he found them asleep again. By the way, the book of Luke says they were asleep from great sorrow. Jesus had just told them that they're going to fall away. He just, dropped a couple of bombs on them. We learned that Judas was betraying him. Then he tells them they're all going to stumble and fall. It was not a good night for them. And now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's around midnight. And let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever gone through depression, but it's like a sedative. When you get a little depressed, it's like, let me just go to sleep. Because it's hard to face reality. And so we learn here that he came back to them again. And it says, and their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Verse 41, and when he came the third time, so in three separate times, Christ was crying out to the Father. Three separate times. By the time that Christ was done the third time, let me tell you, he went from sorrow and fear and distress to crying out to the Father to ask for strength. And the angel came and strengthened him. By the third time he came to the disciples, he was ready. He was ready. He's like, this is enough. Let's go meet them. Christ was strengthened. Just like Hannah. We learn that Hannah went to the temple and she poured out her soul to the Lord. She cried out to God. If God gave her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. And the Bible says when Hannah got up, she was no longer sad. She poured out her heart to God. She was strengthened by the Lord. Have you learned to do that, beloved? Have you learned when you come to the Lord with a broken heart, with overwhelmed, and you come to God and you pour your heart to God and you share? Sometimes, beloved, it takes all night. But when you get up, you are strengthened. Not with your own strength, but with the strength of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus was strengthened. He went through a process here. And now he comes to the disciples. Verse 41, and for the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise! Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Let's go and meet them before they get here. I'm ready. There was strength there. That's how God wants you to live your lives. Are you afraid? Are you overwhelmed? Draw from God's strength. He'll give you the strength to do that. To sing hymns to the Father. To give you peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you that peace. He'll guard your heart and your mind. But it was a spiritual battle. So Jesus was already had forewarned them. He told them about the prophecy that they would all fall away. And his commandment, his exhortation to them was to keep on praying and to keep on watching. Do you know where your weaknesses are? You need to keep on praying about that. You need to keep on watching. As Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober or vigilant, he says, and be watchful for your adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may devour. If you're not walking with the Lord, he's going to devour you. Temptation is going to hit you between the eyeballs. You're not going to be ready. Remember that temptation is not sin. It's yielding to the temptation. The battle begins right there. Let me tell you something. If I know my weaknesses, and before the temptation even comes, I'm already praying. God, I'm praying that you give me strength. I pray that you help me with your word. Help me to live a holy life in a way that's pleasing to you. So when the temptation comes, I'm going to shut it down. There's going to be no contest. There's going to be no battle there because I'm already seeking your face and seeking your strength. So when it comes to the door, I'm going to basically just chase it away because I'm going to have the strength of God. Otherwise, I'm going to give into it. Let me just end with this, or go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus is a wonderful example of how to win the battle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about temptation. I have other verses, but we're not going to have time to look at all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 11. Remember this, the example that Paul said that the children of Israel were our examples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, verse 11 says, all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, in other words, our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And here's that famous verse, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Look at verse 13. You know, many of us think, well, you pastor, you don't understand my temptation, because my temptations are special. They're special temptations. Nobody else understands my temptation. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that what happens to you is common. Guess what? Other brothers and sisters are having the same temptation all over the world. The same type of temptation that you're going through. And guess what? They're able to draw strength from God. So if they can overcome, so can you. Look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is what? Common to man. Sorry. No special temptations here. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now you might be going through something and you might say, I don't know how to deal with this. Going through trial. And many of us pray, Lord, take me out of the trial. Beloved, I think it's God's design that He gets us through the trial. You understand the difference? Taking you out of the trial and getting through the trial. So instead of asking God to take me out of the trial, I say, God, give me more strength to get through the trial. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be stronger. He wants us to be more on fire. He wants us to be more in love with Him. He wants us to grow in our faith. And so He's going to get us through the trial. He's not going to pluck us out of the trial. Did He not say to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you? He didn't pluck Paul out of the fire. He says, Paul, my strength is sufficient. I'll get you through this. I'll make you stronger. And so, beloved, we need to pray that God will give us strength through it, not to take us out of it. His design is for us to love Him more, to trust Him more, to grow a knowledge of Him more. And so, your trials and your temptations are common. And you know what you're tempted with. Let me just close with this. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. He says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, Jesus looked beyond the cross. Beloved, I want you to understand this. This life is short. Whatever you're going through in this life is temporary. You have eternal life to look forward to. You got to look beyond your trials. You got to look beyond this time, beyond this day, beyond this week, and look to our author and our finisher. What was the joy set before Christ? What I believe it is what it was, His bride. Christ looked beyond the cross and He looked to His bride. He was paying the ransom price for his bride. And he couldn't wait to pay the ransom price for his bride. I believe this was a joy set before him. Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, waiting for his return to be with him forever. The joy that was set before him. Let me just simply say this. Only those who have repented and are trusting in Christ Jesus are those who are saved. These people are part of his bride. It is Christ alone who saves and forgives sin. Only through Christ can we have the forgiveness of sin. And his bride is the church. And many people will say, well, I trust in Christ, but I never repented. And friend, you're not saved. Because the evidence of genuine faith is a transformed life. You might say, I'm saved, but you know, I'm still the same old dirty sinner and continue in my sin. There needs to be repentance. You can't say you're saved and you live like the devil. That's just hypocrisy. That's a double-minded person. A true person that is saved has a transformed life. They repented of their sin. And they're trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Have you done that? Have you repented of your sin? Are you trusting in Christ? Or are you still living for yourself in your sin? Remember this, that Christ did not die for himself. He died for sinners. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He died for sinners. He died for us, didn't he? He was buried and 3 days later he resurrected from the dead. He conquered the grave. And someday, you and I will have new bodies and live in a new heaven and a new earth if we trust in Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for your precious word. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. Lord, who can comprehend his sorrow, his fear? Lord, we just got a glimpse of his battle in the garden. We're so grateful, dear Father, that you strengthened him and gave him that the power to overcome. And Lord, we saw a different man. But the third time he came after praying the third time, and he was ready now to meet these men that have come, these sinners, to arrest him and to take him to the cross. Father, we're just so thankful and I pray that you give us strength. Help us to learn to draw strength from you. As many men of old, like David and Jacob and Hannah and Daniel, men that drew strength from you. And we see our Lord Jesus. We're so thankful, dear Father, that there is strength. Even Paul commands us to be strengthened in the power of your might. Bless us now, dear Father, we pray. And bless this food that's prepared for those who will be eating. And all these things, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you, O Father, for our Lord Jesus and what he went through for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.